We are in a series titled, God With Us. God With Us. And in your notes, there's two verses I want us to read together. It's the night of Jesus' birth, and an angel and then an angels and a host of them appeared, and this is what we learned from them. So let's read it together. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." One of the themes of the announcement that evening was something about peace. And God, through the angels, made a declaration, a proclamation about your life. And that proclamation is that God wants you to know peace in your heart. That's it. The theme today is all about peace. It's all about what God wants to give us as a gift because of Jesus coming into the world. I read an article about Norman Triplett. It's from 1897, and he talks about the presence effect. Let me explain that. He studied cyclists, people that rode bikes, and here's what he found out. If a cyclist rode by himself or herself, they could do okay. But if a cyclist had a partner or other people that they rode together with, here's what happened. The cyclist would ride faster and better because of the presence of other people. They call it the presence effect. The same is true in your life. And here's the big idea of the series. When you know that God is with you as you journey through life, you can cycle faster and stronger, and he'll give you confidence to live a better life as opposed to doing life on your own. It's the presence effect. So in your notes, the big idea. When you know that an all-loving, all-powerful, all-present God lives in you and he's with you and he's for you, the presence effect kicks in. It makes the difference. He brings empowerment to our lives. When we fall, he's there to help us get back up. When we're going through a tough time or it's a wonderful time in life, the presence effect, knowing that God is with us, his name is Emmanuel, God with us, makes all the difference. Today our theme is peace. I want to talk about peace in your heart. And I'm going to ask you a question right out the gate. What is the level of peace you have inside you? I was up at the jail Friday, and I used some of the same material. And I asked them the question, what's the peace level in your heart? One guy said it's about half. Others were higher. Others were lower. Some didn't respond. But everybody here has a peace level in your heart. And peace is this thing that it's something inside us, we've got it or we don't. And we're going to talk about different pieces of peace and what it means in our life. But let me give you a definition. It's in your notes. Peace means to tie together into a whole. Let me stop there. God wants you to have wholeness, wholesomeness in your heart. He wants all the pieces of your life to be tied together and you to feel okay with them. Life may not be perfect, and that's okay. We're human beings. But peace transcends life itself. It means you have an inner rest in your soul. There's nothing greater than a life full of peace. It's a continual feast in your life. On the other hand, as we all know, if we don't have peace in our hearts, it's a miserable existence getting through the day. And we're going to talk about different ways to find peace. One of the most amazing sections of scripture is found in Matthew 24, and I've shared this before. Jesus is talking about the end of the earth, the end times, and he says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, all this stuff is going to happen. And then he sandwiches nine words in the middle of this discourse. Here's what he says. But see to it that you are not alarmed. That's peace. There can be an unraveling chaos in the world we live in, and it's happening today. The shootings, whether it be Brown University and the war between Ukraine and Russia, the earthquake in the Philippines just recently. There's all this stuff happening. But listen, Jesus said, but see to it that you, your heart, is not alarmed. When the angel made this declaration of peace to men, he had you in mind that your heart would be anchored to this thing called peace to help you get through life. So in your notes, as we think about peace, there's a verse, John 14:27. Let's read it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I want us to understand we live in two kingdoms. One is an earthly kingdom. It's our flesh and blood. It's the five senses in our body. I mean, we see each other. We live on this thing called earth. That's an earthly kingdom. But we also live in a second kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. We sang about it earlier. And here's the key. Jesus said he wants to give you peace. You know what that is? It's wholesomeness on the inside. He wants you to feel good about life. And so he says, my peace I leave and give to you. Now, here's why peace is so powerful. On the earthly level, we live in a temporal existence. We're all going to die one day, and everything around us will disappear. But we live in another kingdom, which is spiritual, which is eternal. And so when Jesus deposits his peace into our lives, you know why it's more powerful than the earthly things that we deal with? It's because he's eternal, but this world is temporal. So as we think about peace today, here's what I want to do. I want to share three categories of peace. I love this topic because it's something that's practical that I think God wants us all to experience a great depth of peace in our life. So let's get started in your notes. Three categories of peace. Number one is what I'll call peace with God himself. Peace with God. Read with me Romans 5, 1 and 2 in your notes. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have to understand all of us are born into this life, into a world of sin, and we are separated from God. And until we figure out that Jesus came to die for us, and we receive his forgiveness into our life, we will not know what it means to experience peace. Now, Paul says this. He says, listen, we have been justified. That's a legal term. And we have peace with God through what Christ did. And here's what he says. We have access. Access is a big word. Access to God means that we can have a face-to-face connection with him as opposed to not being able to go before him. Jesus ripped the curtain. He tore down the wall between us. This thing called sin that separated us, he dealt with it. And when we put our faith in Christ, he deposits peace into our life. And we know we are right with God. At the jail and other times, I tell them there, I said, you know what the most important question is you can answer in this life? That you're at peace with God. And before you die, you got to understand, if you were to appear before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? You know the answer to it. And the answer is this: I'm trusting in Christ's death to get me into heaven. That's it. It's a gift. It's something I receive during this earthly journey. Now, I'll have Jake put a slide up. Peace comes when there is no cloud between us and God. If you know Christ and you have a measure of God-given peace in your life, that's awesome. If you don't, there's still a cloud in your life. It's probably sin and separation. Now, even as a believer, I can have partial peace because I may have an issue I need to bring before God to find forgiveness or grace to deal with. But here's the deal. There can't be any clouds between you and God. And so if there's a cloud in our life in a particular area or it's an issue, we need to come before him and find forgiveness and grace, and then we get full peace again. The cloud disappears. It vanishes. It's called confession. If there's sin in our life or we said, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that, we need to get cleared up. You know why? We have access. We have access to the Father face to face. Now, the question is, how do you do that? If you have a cloud or if I have a cloud in my life, how do I get it cleared up? It's real simple. Here's the next slide. We have to call upon him. Now, Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you. Romans 10:13 says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you clear up clouds between you and God? You got to call out to him. Now, let me say this. This is your heart to God. Nobody can help you with this. This is just between you and God. We're human beings. It's vertical. But this is the most important piece for any of us to experience. And understand, the angels that night had you in mind. And the angels said, you know what? God wants to bring peace into your heart through what Jesus was going to do on the cross. Okay, that's number one. Number two. The second kind of peace is peace with others. Think of this as the horizontal connections with other people. Read with me Romans 12:15-19 in your notes. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I want to talk about the horizontal relationships. At the jail, I asked the question, I said, how many friends do you have? How many people do you know? And, you know, depending on how personally you know them, we have a lot of acquaintances, and one says, well, probably thousands. And you know, it's true. You have thousands of connections with people. Now, you may not know them all intimately. You may have hundreds, but you probably have 15 to 20 to 30 people you do life with on a regular basis. Here's the deal. When you think about your relationships with all those people, do you have peace with them? Now, in this text, I find it interesting. It says, live in harmony with one another. It means to have a mindset that you want to be a peacemaker. Be a kind of individual that takes care of friction in relationships. Because if we don't tend to it, what happens is it spirals out of control, or it can just go south. And so the writer here says this. If you get offended, there's one thing you don't want to do. Do not retaliate, because that is God's job. And it's very clear, do not repay evil for evil. You know what? You know why they included this, I think, in the text? When you and I get offended by somebody, you know what we want to do? We want to retaliate. We want to get revenge. It's not fair. I hurt because of what they did. And the natural human tendency is to go back after them. And Paul says, wait, that's God's job. If you're here today and that's going through your mind, if you surrender it to God, you'll be in a better place than if you act on it yourself. If you act on it yourself, you know what you're doing? You're doing God's job. And you know what you'll do? Will further complicate the mess. When I've tried to retaliate or bring a sense of retribution back, it just made the matter worse. But understand, that's God's job. Now, here's what he says. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, let me just try to unpack that a bit. Maybe there's a friction you've had with another person. And you go to them and you try and talk it through, but they really don't want to come to terms and settle it. Does that make sense? There are situations in life where you do your part. They may not be wanting to be on the same page, but if you do your part as much as it depends on you, you can then let it go and experience peace. Now, there's a quote here I'm going to have Jake put up. Forgive others not because they deserve it, but because you deserve peace. I mean, don't let the offense of somebody else toward you rob you of your peace, which means it may require an act of forgiveness on your part. So the question is, how do we clear up stuff horizontally with other people if there's a strain or a tension or something between us? And here's the next slide. Two options. Letter A. You may be here today, and because of a friction in a relationship, you need to forgive someone else. They don't even have to be present, but you can still decide to forgive. Now, if you can talk it through with another person, and that's possible, that helps. Can't deny it. That's a blessing, and you both get on the same page. But if the other person isn't even wanting to talk, or you can't talk to them, and they've offended you, you can still forgive them. Otherwise, it'll eat away at your peace horizontally. Now, there's a letter B to this, and it's this. Maybe you will need to apologize to someone for what you did. This is where you own your part of it, whatever that part is. Could be small, could be big. But when you and I apologize for an action that was not appropriate, here's what happens. The cloud disappears. The cloud is gone. But to get peace horizontally as you scan all of your relationships with other people, including husbands and wives, children, parents, people close to us, people we work with, you do the scan and you say, wow, how am I feeling? Do I have peace in all these relationships? Two things. It'll come down to this. Maybe I need to forgive them for what they did to me, which I didn't think was right or fair. They may not deserve it, but I don't want to lose my peace. Letter B, it's an apology to someone else. And again, you know what the end result is? The cloud lifts. I'm good. I've done everything I can on my end to try and live at peace with everybody. So number one, vertical peace. God deposits through his grace peace into anyone's heart who calls upon him. He lifts that load and we feel okay with God. Horizontally, peace with other people. We have to tend and shepherd the relationships he gives us. All right, number three. I love this one. Number three is peace with yourself. Read with me Matthew 5, 43 and 44 in your notes. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, it's interesting. Jesus says when it comes to your enemies, we're supposed to love them and even pray for them. That's a pretty tall order. It really is. When we can do that, it's an incredible act of faith in our part. When Charlie Kirk got shot, and I heard his wife speak at the service, she said, you know, she made a proclamation. She says, you know, I'm going to forgive the guy who shot him. I tell you, that's a pretty noble declaration. And so enemies, we know, we're supposed to forgive our enemies, but here's where I'm going with this. What if you are your own worst enemy? I mean, we know if we have a horizontal enemy, okay, we got to deal with that. But what if you are the worst enemy of yourself? What are you supposed to do? Jesus said you're supposed to love yourself. Why? You're the enemy. And so we find here that this whole principle of I can be my own worst enemy, which means we have to learn to love ourselves in order to have peace inside us with ourselves. Now, I've got a few quotes here. I'm going to have Jake cycle through. Stop reliving, rehearsing, and reanalyzing past hurt and mistakes. You may be here this morning, and you're still rehearsing things from 20 years ago. We're all part of human nature. We get this. We understand it. I've done that. But there's something here that when we understand, if I'm to love my enemy and I'm the enemy, maybe I need to deal with, and one step is stop rehearsing and reliving it. Here's another quote. Don't be your own worst enemy. In the depot at the jail is the ladies' cell. And there were nine that came to the worship service. And I said to them, who is your own worst enemy? And they put, most of them put their hands up. You know, if we did that here today, we'd probably say the same thing. We can be our own worst enemy. You know why? We're angry with ourselves. We're mad. And it can even go as far as rage. Do you realize we can have hidden rage in our hearts toward ourselves because of something done 20, 30 years ago that we're still trying to figure out or process and get past? Here's the next quote. You were meant to be your own best ally. So stop being your own worst enemy. Now, I want you to absorb that. You have a choice. I have a choice. That the person inside each of us is called the inner person. We can either make it our best friend or we can be our worst enemy. Now, this next quote, go ahead and go to it, Jake. It kind of explains it. Your worst enemy could be your best friend, and your best friend, your worst enemy. When you apply it to yourself, it makes sense. The person inside you can be your best friend through your earthly journey, or the person inside you can be your own worst enemy. And so we have a choice in this. We can literally live our entire life and be our worst enemy for the entire journey. Or we can try and flip it and say, wait a minute, I've got to work on me on the inside so that I become my best friend. Now, the question is, what does God want for us? I don't know. He said, love your enemies. If you're the enemy, sounds like you and I need to love ourselves or learn to do that. So the question is, how do we do it? So I'm going to have Jake put this next slide up. I want to walk through four things of how to forgive yourself. Letter A, name the hurt or the pain. In other words, if you've got something in your life, name it. Put a name on anger, I'm disappointed, it was unfairness, I'm resentful, whatever you want to call it, name it, put a label on it, okay? Letter B, learn the lesson from it. Say, okay, what did I learn from this experience that I've hurt myself so bad or hurt other people? Just say, what are the lessons? Now, here's the secret. Learn to forget the mistake, just remember the lesson. It's a shift in focus. Instead of rehearsing the mistake, rehearse the lesson learned. Lay hold of it, claim it, make it your own. All right, name the hurt, learn the lesson. Letter C, apply God's word to it. Let me explain. There's a verse in Psalm that goes like this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God is saying that when we confess something, he will remove it from us as far as the east is from the west. It's called grace. It's pretty amazing truth, isn't it? Now, here's the deal. What do we do with that promise in relation to ourselves We often continue to hold it against ourselves rather than practicing release it, because as far as the east is from the west, that's how far Jesus and God removes our sins from us. Find a promise in God's word and apply it to your hurt. Walk it forward. You know, another example, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Well, if he forgives us, I need to forgive myself. You know, here's an insight. If you believe that God forgives any sin and you confess it and you try and get past it, but we have trouble forgiving ourselves, you know what we're doing? We are overruling what God has done for us. That's the power of human choice. You and I can overrule it. We can hold ourselves accountable for the remainder of our days, and we will die as our worst enemy. On the other hand, if we take grace, we learn the lesson, we name it, we apply his word toward it, what happens is we can get free of it over time. Now, there's some things that I've had to deal with that they're gone like that. You know, it's not a big deal. Others have taken years and decades. Probably the same is true with you. But go to work on applying God's word to the pain or the hurt and begin to work it into your spirit. And then finally, letter D, the last thing is this. Learn to release it. Release it. What does that mean? Well, as I think about God's word, and if he says he's forgiven me, I need to release it myself. That's an inside job that only you and I can do for ourselves. Nobody else can help us with that. It's an inside inner working to say, I'm going to release this over and over again. I'm going to learn from it. But because of his grace, I'm going to somehow release it in my own life. Here's a quote. Let go and forgive yourself. You may be here today, and the biggest point from this entire service or message is this. God may be calling you today to forgive yourself. You know why? He said, love your enemies. And if you're the enemy, that means we have to love ourselves. And he wants us to get free and to become more Christ-like through his grace. Here's another quote. The moment you ask for forgiveness, God forgave you. Now do your part and leave the guilt behind. Takes work. Takes faith. Takes just kind of processing it as we go forward in life. But as we think about the angels that night, and they said, hey, peace on earth, peace to men and women. Yeah, it's a vertical peace. It's peace with God. It could be horizontal peace, peace with other people. It could be peace with yourself. And when we go to work on this in our own lives, can I tell you, the tank of our life, our hearts, are filled with freedom, even though the world is unraveling and there's chaos all around us. We can have peace in the midst of the storm because it's eternal, and that's what Jesus came to give us as his children. Concluding verse, it's in your notes. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. I want you to catch this. You are called to experience peace. And let it rule in your life. There may be some things we have to tend to it about. We have to receive peace from God by faith. Number two, we have to maybe apologize or forgive other people. Number three, peace with yourself. Work it through. Do what you need to do to have peace within yourself. So I'm going to close in prayer. And I think this morning, Christmas Sunday, God wants to give somebody here a new measure of peace. Now, how does he do that? We have to receive it. It's through his grace. And I'm going to walk us through these three different categories. And I want you to come before God, and I want you to be open to receive what he wants to give you. Let's pray. Number one, peace with God. Have you got it full and complete? It's just by asking God for his forgiveness. If there's a cloud in your life, confess it and receive his forgiveness by faith. Just say, God, I call out to you. I need your help. Do it right now. Number two, peace with others. The Holy Spirit will show you, is there anybody I need to forgive? Is there anybody I need to apologize to? He'll show you. Clear it up. Get peace horizontally. Number three, peace with yourself. If you are the enemy of your own life, maybe it's time to change and become your best ally. Name the hurt, learn the lesson, apply God's word, and then release it by faith. Father, I pray that your peace will rule in every heart here today and those listening online. That's why Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us. And so I pray your favor will be poured out in abundance to set some people free this morning. May they leave here different because they've had an encounter with you, the living God, in your word, and you brought peace in a greater measure to their life. In Jesus' name, amen.